When I was attending college, one of my professors taught that the reason we have wars is because we spank our children. Another professor said if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a noise? Well, so much for higher learning. You know, I was thinking if we had a whole generation of kids that we never corrected and never spanked, boy, we'd have a real great generation growing up, wouldn't we? That's man's higher learning. And I appreciate the fact that I was able to get a college degree because in our society it makes it easier to earn a good living. But sometimes the things you learn in college is man's wisdom. It's five senses knowledge. And the information that they gather and the information they present is usually based on the five senses. These five senses are only partially reliable. Sometimes they give correct information and sometimes they don't. For instance, if it's a hot day in the middle of the summer and you may be driving down the road, you look farther down the road, it may appear like there's water down the road, but you get there and the road is dry, and that's an optical illusion where it appears there's water and there isn't. Or if you look in a fish pond and you reach in the water and try and catch the fish where it appeared to be, it's not where it appeared to be because the light refraction made the fish appear several inches different location than it actually is. Or if you look through a magnifying glass, say if you pull out a magnifying glass and you look at your thumb suddenly is twice its size. Now, has it really gotten bigger? No, it just appears bigger. Man has achieved many great things by his five senses. He's made many scientific and medical advances. You know, I appreciate a lot of the new technology we've done with the five senses. It's wonderful. He's come up with a lot of great theories. But the problem is this type of learning is trial and error. Sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. Almost every day, some scientist comes along and tells us that everything we knew about dinosaurs is wrong. Or they come up with a new theory about the origins of the universe. Kind of reminds me of back in the early 70s, they were telling us that another ice age was coming. And then along about the late 80s, early 90s, they were telling us, well, global warming's coming. And then I heard, it was less than a year ago, I saw something on TV where a scientist said, well, the global warming is going to cause polar ice to melt, and the polar ice is going to cool the oceans down and is going to throw us into another ice age. Well, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. It's like this year in up in Michigan, we had weathermen was predicting a record number of days in the 90s. We were going to have like this extremely hot summer. Well, it turns out we had two or three days that got up in the 90s all summer long. They went by their five senses and they made a mistake. You know, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. Why don't you take your Bibles and go to in the New Testament to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. It's like right now, I'm here recording this tape outside, it's raining outside. Well, maybe tomorrow it won't be raining. The rain is temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things of God, the truths of God, the truths in the Bible, they're eternal. They last. They're not here today, gone tomorrow. It's not like some scientific theory that's popular for a while and then loses popularity and then some new theory comes along. Now, sometimes in religion, you do see where you get certain religious theories that are popular, religious interpretations, but what's that? That's five senses logic. That's their interpretation of the Bible. That's not the truth of God's Word. Because the truth of God's Word does not change. Let's go to the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, verse 7, here's a record about Saul. In the Old Testament, this is interesting. The Israelites, they had judges, and they, you know, God had set up judges to rule over them. They weren't happy with judges. They wanted a king. And they said, look, all these other pagan nations have a king. We want a king, too. We want some guy that's going to rule over us. And God says, well, you know, you guys aren't going to be too happy with a king. And the first king they had was Saul. Saul was not such a good king. they were sorry that they had him. He ended up being a messed up king. But what it was is the Israelites chose Saul because they liked the way he looked by the five senses. He was tall. He looked regal. He looked like the guy that should be king. But the guy that ended up being the better king was this little short guy, David. He didn't look regal. He just looked like an ordinary guy, but he was the better king. You know, chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Man will judge you by how you look. You know, is your hair comb right? Is your tie straight? Are you too tall? Are you too short? Are you wearing the new fashion that's in style this year? You know, it's like maybe light shirts are in, or dark shirts are in, or wide ties or skinny ties or whatever. In fact, some of the ancient Greek philosophers taught that what was beautiful was good and what was ugly was bad. Well, that's a real superficial way of looking at life. God looks at the heart. It's nice to clean ourselves up and look our best. I like wearing new clothes. I like having my hair combed, and I like looking good. But it's really important that we put God's word on in our heart so our heart is beautiful. Let's go to again in the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 55. And it says here in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands." See, the word of God is true and reliable. Let's go to Psalms, the 12th Psalm, verse 6. And it says here, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, the first part of the verse, it says, God says, "I will speak, and the word that I will speak shall come to pass." In chapter 4, verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." Again, it's like that story I told you about the global warming stories and all that stuff, and you get that going on in the religious field where people think, well, you know, maybe this is true or maybe that. But see, we need to go back to the Word of God to find out what's true. That's where we get our spiritual knowledge. And in Malachi, in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So how do we get this word of truth? How do we get spiritual knowledge? Now, we've seen that natural knowledge is sometimes reliable and sometimes it isn't. You know, for the most part, we do have to rely a lot on natural knowledge. For instance, if you pull up to a stoplight and it's red, you better stop. You know, just because it's natural knowledge doesn't mean, oh, I can run through it. No, it's red, you better stop. But spiritual knowledge is a plane above. It's even more true than the natural knowledge. But how do we get this spiritual knowledge? We get it in one of three ways. Either one, someone speaks the Word of God to us, and obviously we hear it. Two, we can read the Bible. Or three, we can get revelation, one of the revelation manifestations. So let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 10, and verse 14. "How then shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall we believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So you see, somebody has to speak the word for people to believe it. And verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And here in a couple, in three or four verses of scripture here, we see all three usages of how we get the word of God. It's all right here in one nice little tight package. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, it says, if ye have heard, and take note of that word there, heard, if ye have heard of the dispensation or administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, in verse 3, how that by revelation, take note of that word there, revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, in verse 4, whereby when ye read, take note of that word, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So here you have hearing, revelation, and reading. Those are the three ways that we get the Word of God, or to get that spiritual knowledge into our mind. All learning for the natural man of body and soul comes by one or more of the five senses. Either he sees it, he tastes it, he touches it, smell it, or hear it. But for the spiritual man of body and soul, and spirit, there is another way, avenue of learning, manifestations of spirit. God can talk to us. God can reveal things to us. God can inspire us. God can give us understanding. God can give us information that is not available by way of the five senses. This is spiritual knowledge. Natural knowledge is limited and not always true, but spiritual knowledge is reliable and true. Let's take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. When our faith stands in the wisdom of men, what are we looking to? That's our five senses. But if we're looking to the power of God, that is the spiritual knowledge. So what does our faith stand in? Do we base it in five senses? The latest scientific theory? The psychic hotline on TV? The wisdom of men? Or do we base our faith on the Word of God? Let's go back a chapter in 1 Corinthians to chapter 1 and verse 19. It says here, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? You know, sometimes King James can be a wonderful translation, like right here. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Okay, and what this is talking about, see, by world wisdom, by your five senses, you don't get to know the wisdom of God. You get the wisdom of God by going to the Word of God. You have to get it one of those three ways I was talking about a few minutes ago. Spiritual knowledge, you have to get one of the three ways I talked about before, either by hearing it, reading it, or by revelation.